This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, good morning. We have this morning in the gospel reading a familiar and a well-known verse, particularly to those of us who have seen the John 3:16 signs being held up in stadiums and at sporting events. But what does it really mean for God to love the world? How do we read this passage or this chapter or this gospel of John as a whole so that we might try and avoid platitudes and generalizations? Perhaps another way of looking at it is for us to ask, what does it mean that Jesus was sent to save the world? What does it mean for Jesus to be lifted up? I think to start, we have to remember that the world in John was created through Jesus. And we're told that Jesus was in the world, was incarnate in the world. They're intertwined and brought together and in relationship from the very first verses of John. But we're also told that the world did not know Jesus. And that same word for world is also frequently used to describe the parts of humanity that reject Jesus and Jesus' teachings. So what does it say about God and Jesus' love that Jesus was sent to save the world, to save those who were often portrayed as being in conflict with Jesus, to love those who do not know him, sent to the world out of love, choosing love, not condemnation, and offering salvation? I often talk of God's love, and I think it's a popular topic here at St. David's, but I think it's important for us to acknowledge that the love that's being described here is a radical and an expansive love that's meant to challenge us. If it seems to come too easy or without cost, then I think it's most likely a sign that we're getting it wrong. Certainly love can be easy, particularly when we're loving those that agree with us or that think or look like us. It can even be easy when we're loving those that are different, if it somehow aligns with our approach or our way of looking at the world. But loving those who disagree with you, or who reject you, or who oppose your beliefs, that's another matter altogether, but that's precisely the type of love that Jesus and God exhibit in the Gospel of John. I think it's a particularly important reminder in what is shaping up to be an extremely divisive and triggering election year, as we might ask ourselves, how do we love those who oppose us and reject us? How do we love our enemy? How do we love in a way that shakes us to our very core? How do we reject the easy and acceptable versions of love and find ways to break love and ourselves wide open? I think we have to hold and seek this tension between the love that comes easy to us and the love that challenges us and makes us uncomfortable. A similar tension or sense of mystery exists in this idea of Jesus being lifted up in the Gospel of John. This verse is often associated with the cross, but for John, Jesus being lifted up is truly associated with the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. God becomes incarnate in Christ, made human to bring salvation to the world. Yet that very same Christ is crucified, resurrected, and then lifted up to be reunited with the Father. And we hold this tension together every Sunday. In the same Sunday we could acknowledge and grieve Christ's death at the same time that we celebrate the faith and the hope that Jesus is resurrected and has ascended to prepare a place for us. In the same Sunday service, we can celebrate baptisms and new babies, while we also pray for those who have died and for the sick and the suffering. We can somehow acknowledge the pain and suffering of the cross, even while we proclaim God's promise of eternal life and gather at the altar where we receive a foretaste of the heavenly banquet and of eternal life. Somehow we're able to hold all of these seemingly competing ideals as true, and we can lift them up as one. Our human life and our life of faith are filled with joys, glory, hope, and faith. They're also filled with grief, suffering, pain, and sometimes trauma, all at the same time. And neither one completely cancels out the other. Even though we know the end of the story, the end of our story, ends in eternal life, we can still feel pain and grief, and we can still struggle. And I think Lent provides us a time to restore and to maintain this balance and this tension. It's a time filled with prayer and sacrifice and preparation, a time for us to try and get our minds right, if you will, a time to hold up and to create the balance required to live this life of faith. And then at the end of Lent, we'll participate in Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter liturgies, where in the matter of just a few days, we will quite literally acknowledge the realities and the tension of a life lived with the cross and the resurrection in mind, a life that loves radically. So Lent becomes a time for us to discern and to gauge our life as a disciple, to ask ourselves the question of how we are living. How are we maintaining this balance and this tension? Are we loving in ways that challenge and expand our boundaries? Are we challenging ourselves to build community that looks like the world, community that challenges us and our definitions of love? Does our community lift up and live out this life of cross, resurrection, incarnation, and ascension? Does our community acknowledge our pain and suffering and sin while also proclaiming our hope and faith and love? So as we continue to discern our future life together this year, I pray that we can hold this expansive and radical love of Jesus in focus. I pray that we can hold the tension between the love that comes easy to us and the love that challenges us. And I pray that we can embrace the tension between cross, resurrection, and ascension, and proclaim and live up to the reality of all three. It's sometimes a difficult road that we walk, and holding up all of these competing ideals can be challenging. Lent offers us the perfect time for us to practice the skills of recentering and refocusing ourselves, so that we can live the life of a disciple, so we can live the life of those who believe in and know the light of Christ, so that we can live the life of those who are saved. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.